Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Paul the Apostle, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, finishes two chapters of teaching on giving, and Paul capstones his instruction with a burst of thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to look at the what and the why, the what and the why of the unspeakable gift. What is his unspeakable gift? Well, John 3:16 says, God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the gift-giving season. And God gave us a gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God gave us the gift. What is that unspeakable gift? Jesus Christ, the baby born without a human father, born in a village where his mother and his foster father were in only to register for taxes. Yet the prophets had foretold both his birth and his birthplace. Angels announced his birth. Imagine the whole night sky being filled with angels. And the angels singing. God even made a star to proclaim to wise men in foreign nations that his son was an unspeakable gift. Today, when we have a birth, we generally send birth announcements, perhaps through the mail, perhaps on Facebook or some other electronic media. Some folks would hand out cigars. All that to announce the birth of a child, their child. God announced his birth, his son's birth, with a star. And with the angels, imagine. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Lights in that verse means stars. God created all the stars, including the one that drew the wise men from the east to Bethlehem to see this baby born King of the Jews. The one that we had a song, we sang a song about this morning. What is God's unspeakable gift? It is Jesus Christ. He is God's unspeakable gift. Why? Why is his gift unspeakable? Why is his gift unspeakable? Well, the word unspeakable is only used this time in the New Testament. It means unable to recount or to tell fully. Not able to describe, indescribable. No one is able to tell fully the love of God expressed in the gift of his Son. No angel could tell, not even the herald angels that announced to the shepherds that there was a Savior, Christ the Lord, was born. No one can tell fully the humbling that occurred when the King of Glory became a human baby and was laid in a feed trough, a manger, and endured all the things that he endured. No one can describe that. No one can fully recount it. The angel that appeared to Joseph in the dream, telling him that yes, Mary, his espoused wife, was still truly a virgin, that the baby that was in her was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. That angel told Joseph this baby's name was Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. In Matthew it says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." That's unspeakable. How can a baby save people from sins? How could anyone save people from their sins? Christmas is a celebration of God in the person of Jesus Christ, becoming a human, being born as a baby boy. But Christmas by itself doesn't save anyone. That baby lived a perfect, sinless life as he grew to be a man. Think about it. Not one lie, not one deceptive word or action, not one lustful thought, not one lustful look, not one hateful word, not one wrong act, not a single act of selfishness did this baby ever commit. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. But his perfect, sinless life doesn't save anyone. How does Jesus save his people from their sins? If you turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, familiar verse that begins a familiar passage, Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read verses 28 through 32. How does Jesus, whose name means Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of heaven, how does Jesus save his people from their sins? Not by Christmas, not by his perfect, sinless life, but in Romans 8, verse 28, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God delivered Jesus, his Son, up for us all. What does that mean? That means that God treated Jesus as if he had committed all our sin. God judged Jesus in your place. God sentenced Jesus with the sentence that you and I earned. God did not spare his Son, but gave Jesus up to the wrath that our sin deserves. And that's unspeakable. No man can fully describe that. No angel can understand it. No man would have ever, could have ever, thought that way of salvation up. Man would have made salvation something to earn, to work for, to strive for. You have to do this. You have to be this. Think of the religions today. They're all about doing something in order to earn or achieve salvation. But the Bible says it's a gift. And God is a giving God. Look at verse 32 again. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all." Delivered. God delivered a gift, an unspeakable gift. If he would do that for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is gracious. God's a giver. Man would have never made it a gift, let alone the most costly gift ever given. It is unspeakably costly, not to us, but to God and to Jesus. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Lost one here today, you need to be saved. You need to turn to Christ. You can be saved today because of God's unspeakable gift. Born again one, give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. Think where you'd be if you had to pay for your sin for all eternity. Think where you'd be if God hadn't given us his Son, Jesus Christ. He shall save his people from their sins. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Are you still in Romans chapter 8? Let's finish that chapter. Beginning of verse 32, read to the end. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's unspeakable gift is Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be unto God. Father, we praise you. We give you thanks for your Son. Father, we marvel that you are good and gracious and loving enough to care about us after what we have done to you. And Father, you've promised that you will take us to be with you, that Christ will return and we'll be with you and with him forever. Father, you promised, we just read, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We marvel at that. We can't understand it, but we can surely thank you for it. And we do. And we praise you that we will have all eternity to continue to learn more about you, about your great love, about your great person, and we'll have all eternity to thank and to worship and to praise you. Father, thank you for this time of year when we set aside a time to look again at the past, but help us to always remember, Father, that the baby in the manger, even his perfect life, doesn't save. But because you gave, and he did come as a baby and lived a perfect life, and then died in our place, we can come before you. Father, we give you thanks, praise, and honor. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you that you are a gracious God. We ask that you would bless us,
because of your nature, not our own. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.